Blog Talk Radio.
Last night I dreamed that you neither one of us knew why. We didn't build nothing overnight, cause a love like this takes some time. People swore it off as a fate, said we can't see that. Now from top to bottom, they see that we did that. Yeah, it's so true that, yeah, we've been through it. Yeah, we got right. Yeah, see baby, we've been
that means, yep, you guessed it, it's a strip the mic day. The author Hessian got his love going up on a Tuesday like it's a Friday. Two literary prodigies, these scholars be so talented, they can write a novel about water and still entertain a nice tray. No filters tonight, they might say bright day inducing diatribes that could make a life change. And if you ain't gang and don't hang with the Author's Lounge on Tuesday, you might want to rearrange how you prioritize things. This is family, man. The Author's Lounge maintains by overstanding what's understood, so the unnecessary doesn't have to be explained. The pilot and co-pilot flying this plane entertains by unleashing verbal positive cargo as if it's carried by a train nonstop through your earlobes all the way in until it reaches the creative portion of your brain. Strip the mic is going to the top, high like we just copped a whole pound of the best strain, conducting top interviews and use our platform to help those who choose to network and idea exchange. This is 2 hours of insane vibes. The Archer's Lounge goes live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Central and 7 p.m. Eastern. Guess what? We can be heard worldwide. You know, I sit back like watching Hezzy quarterback like he come with the content and the God is love catches the ball like running it up the side. Drift the Mic presents the Author's Lounge. Stick around so we can drop that sound that up until inception, you and others have been denied. Now, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear those hands collide, and please help myself and the Drip the Mic Network welcome the Author's Lounge with your host, the author Hezzy, and co-host, God is Love in the building. Let's get it.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody. And welcome to the Author's Lounge. I am your host, Author Hezzy. Presented to you by Drip the Mic. Call in 646-378-0355. And my amazing new co-host. She needs no introduction. She's fiery and she's fly. None other than Miss Melissa MC. How are you doing?
Good evening, everybody. Oh, wow. I am amazing tonight. Oh, I am. I hope you are.
Yeah, always, especially when I'm talking to you.
You know what? Don't even do that. We are supposed to be doing a family-oriented show. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, it is always good when I work with you. I love working with you. It's effortless. It's effortless, and I love that.
Yes, indeed. Well, we have an amazing show tonight. For the first couple of minutes, we're going to have in the building Mr. Paul Bahu. I hope I pronounced it right. He is the author of Sunset Distortion, The Pyramid at the End of the World. He holds a BA in political science from Cal State University, Long Beach, with a minor in music. He began his career right. I know it, girl. I know it. He got a long list. He began his career writing grants while playing in his rock band. I need one of them. Eventually moving out from music and to the sustainability sector. He lives in Southern California. With his wife, Melissa, daughter Sophie, and son Harrison. He writes fiction, music, and the occasional dad joke in his spare time. Uh-oh. It's Mr. Paul Bahu in the building.
Yes, real baby.
Thank you.
I
feel the love. Hello, Melissa and Hezzy. How are you today?
Man, we're doing great, man.
Yes. Yes, I give it life to them.
How are you doing tonight, Mr. Bahu? Am I pronouncing your name right?
Bahu. You're right there.
Bahu.
You're right there.
Okay, Bahu.
It's a confusing one, for sure. Trips people up.
Yeah.
I'm not dead yet.
You would be Mr. B in my world. Hey, Mr. B.
Hey, I'll make it easy for you. Are you ready?
Yeah,
okay. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Uh-oh.
Ba.
Ba? Who?
Ba.
There you go. Easy.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. You know what? I drink. I can't do that. I drink. I can't do that. I'm a sick with what I know.
Hey, you got it. Easy.
Cool.
Bahu.
Yeah, that's cool.
Great. Well, Mr. Bahu, go ahead and tell us a little something about yourself.
Whoa. Anything in particular, or just
about your books?
Out of the air.
Yeah, you know the random stuff that the authors have to answer.
Of course.
I was going to say the repetitious question. Yeah, that part.
All right, sure. So my debut novel, Sunset Distortion, The Pyramid at the End of the World, is out for you lovely listeners to freely enjoy. The world is a crazy, crazy place and can sometimes be overwhelming, so why not hit the pause button and enjoy some superfluous science fiction? It's a book about an 80s rocker named Laser. So, you know, like 80s heavy metal, kind of like Black Sabbath, Metallica, in that kind of realm of things. So our protagonist, Laser, plays in an 80s rock band, never quite made it, but just kind of stayed in that facet of his life even until, you know, he's in middle age now, still acting like he's in his 20s. And then he gets abducted by space aliens. And so it follows our dear protagonist as he is thrown into this grand race for an alien artifact that grants its owner infinite life. But we don't quite know what exactly they mean by infinite life. So it follows Laser on this odyssey, if you will, out in outer space. It's got alien pirates, monsters, interdimensional brain leeches. It's a lot of fun.
Let me tell y'all something real quick. Last time I hosted with Head, it was the author was on it, phenomenal. He wrote this book, and it was kind of racy. And the next thing I knew, there are aliens that were having relations and doing things. So you know what? You got me. I'm already here.
All right.
You got me.
All right. Me and you, Melissa, let's go.
Okay, Melissa, go ahead. He said you and him. Y'all go.
Let's go to this infinite life. Well, where did you come with the infinite life? What is that about?
Well, you got to read the book to find out.
Oh, man, no. I'm like my grandchildren. No. Come on, you got to give me a tease or something. Something.
Okay, so there's a question posed, right? What does infinite life actually mean? You know, Laser, our main character, has done quite a few substances in his time, so sometimes asks the dumb question, sometimes asks the obvious question. So he asks, so does infinite life mean that you come back over and over again like Mario, or does infinite life mean that once you die, you just keep going like a zombie? And he's got a... And so they have to go and find this artifact. He gets drafted by the owner of this pirating company, a woman named Dex, who is trying to search for this alien relic. And she knows what infinite life means, but to give you a teaser, it's kind of it has a bit to do with string theory, if you're into that whole world of quantum physics.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's cool, cool.
So what made you get into writing science fiction?
I've always been a writer. I love writing. It's great, right?
Yes.
You love it?
Yes.
We all love
yes.
it.
Yeah.
It's good to
yeah.
clean the cobwebs of the mind, right? So,
right.
Yeah, exactly. It's good for the mind, good for the spirit. So I used to... play in bands a lot. You always need to do something creative. For me, if I'm not doing something creative, I don't have a creative project, I get a little squirrely. I played in a rock band for a real long time, you know, put out records, toured, did the whole thing. And that band broke up. I put a new band together with my wife. We had some fun. We had a good little run. But after that band broke up, I was over trying to get people in the same room at the same time. I don't know if you ever played music or tried to be in a band. It is exhausting trying to get people. You know what I mean? You got to coordinate schedules. And it's a whole thing. So after my last band broke up, I said, you know what? I'm kind of done roping all these people together. I am just going to write that novel that I've been sitting on. So that's what I did.
Okay.
Wow.
So you can really get into your character then. I mean, you do play in a rock band. All that's missing is the monsters, the robots, the aliens, and the pirates.
You know, got to keep that brain churning, right?
Yes. I have to.
So tell me,
Mr. Who?
That's right, buddy.
Now, you do music.
I did.
How do you intertwine your music career and your writing career together? Do you ever do that?
Glad you asked, Hezzy. So this novel is filled with musical references. Obviously, the main character is he's a musician, so there's a lot of references to like heavy metal and hard rock. And he meets a friend, an alien sidekick. He's a floating octopus with high anxiety and an English accent. And he's all into his own music, and so they have lots of conversations about music. Every single main character, you learn about their musical tastes. Actually, but kind of the premise of the novel is, you know, it opens up. You learn more about the universe outside. And the general concept is that the entire galaxy is under the rule of this bureaucracy, right? So there's no big space wars or anything like that. It's not like Star Wars where all these different, you know, people are shooting at each other. No, it's already just like the EU. It's the United States. There's peace, right? But human culture is being taken by all these different aliens, and they're kind of doing their own kind of quasi-appropriative things with it. And so everyone in outer space loves human culture. They think it's great. But humans themselves are kind of seen as kind of like this weird backward race, and they are we're kind of like humans are something of the uncontacted tribe in the Amazon, if you will. So they're taking culture and they're kind of, you know, spinning it in their own different directions. But at the end of the day, it's almost like a copy of a copy. So he gets out there, and all these people are blown away to see a human in person, and they're all about human culture. He meets a little alien that's all about pop music, and she's named herself, she just strung along a bunch of human celebrity names, just it was like Miley Kardashian Obama, this is the kind of identity they've taken, and so human culture and all the things that we do are just all about, you know, space, they're all about it, and they're doing their own thing with it. And, so music just absolutely saturates the story.
Wow. So when did you start doing music?
What was that?
When did you start doing music?
When did I start doing music?
Yes.
So, fun story. My dad took me, you know, as a kid, I was all into, like, comic books and video games and all that fun stuff, right? But when I was 12 years old, my dad took me to my first concert. It was to see Chuck Berry, the one and only.
Wow.
And that concert changed my life. I remember distinctly, I brought a couple of comic books with me because I thought I might be bored. But I put them down the second that guy got on stage and was just like, wow, what is this? I mean, this was in the 90s, so, I mean, Chuck Berry was older, but he wasn't, you know, on death's door or anything. And he went up there, and he just played the hit, and it was phenomenal. And I left that concert telling my dad, Dad, I want to play guitar. I want to play guitar. I want to learn the guitar like Chuck Berry. And so I was taking lessons, but my dad played guitar. And my brother, who was a little younger than me, was learning drums. And my dad kept saying, you know, we need a bass player. We need a bass player. Come on, play the bass. And I'm like, no, Dad, I want to play guitar. And then he kept saying, no, come on, play the bass. No, Dad, I'm going to play guitar. And then I started a band with some of my neighbors. Three of us were playing guitar, and my brother was on drum. And I'm just like, this is unworkable. Fine, maybe I should play the bass. So I went to my dad, and I said, Dad, I'm ready to play the bass. And his eyes lit up, and he was so excited. Because he named me Paul after Paul McCartney, huge Beatles fan.
Oh, wow.
So my dad, who he's Palestinian, so this is my approximation of his accent, he comes to me the next day with a bass guitar and says, Paul, it is time for you to fulfill your destiny.
Oh, I am so sorry for laughing like that. That is funny.
So I never looked back. Bass was my instrument, I played bass in that band. I played bass in the high school jazz band. I played bass in all my preacher bands. Still play guitar for fun, but bass is where my heart always was.
So where's your guitar right now?
Hanging on a wall. By my small children. My 1 year old likes to stand up. Yeah, my 1 year old likes to stand up and just hit it. And so I'm like, okay, kid, I see you. I'm gonna teach you guitar when you can, you know, handle yourself because you're a baby. You can't teach a baby guitar, but one day I'm gonna get there.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least you already know who your guitar player is gonna be. So all you have to do is get the rest of the band together. You already know what her is.
So this is my plan. I told my wife this, and she rolls her eyes, but I told her, hey, you signed the wedding contract, so it's in there in the fine print, you just didn't see it, that it was hard to get band members, so I'm like, I'm going to make some band members. I'm going to just, you know, what was it, just Joe Jackson, was that the dad? You know,
I was
going to
say, Joe Jackson.
Yeah,
that's right.
Osmonds.
The Osmonds, y'all can do that.
That's right.
Hey, I like the Monkees. I don't know what y'all talking about.
My 4 year old loves
the
drums.
Monkees,
and
brothers?
Yes.
Were they brothers? I don't think the Monkees were brothers.
I don't know. They had such that great mushroom. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just saying. Family band. Way easier than finding strangers to come jam with you. I'm just going to get my kids going. That's what my dad did. He's a very smart man.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He didn't have to look for the band. It was right upstairs, you know?
That's
cool.
That's
true.
So it'll be great. Teach my kids music. bring them up, taking them to concerts. Going to be the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Culture is very important for children. I mean, they gravitate so easily, you know, and if you can get their attention, you got them. And music seems to do it. Music does it.
I'm gonna tell y'all the funniest story. Well, it's not even a story. I was at work the other day. Let me tell you how far Michael Jackson still reaches the world today. So I'm working beside this dude. He's from Africa, West Africa. He's over there doing Michael Jackson moves. I'm like, dude, what?
That is funny. That is so funny.
I'm like, Michael Jackson still has a reach. Like, he's never going to be. Everybody's going to always know Michael Jackson.
Yep.
He's an icon.
Yep.
He's forever. Right. There's a certain level that you hit where you are icon status and you're never going away. Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Elvis Presley, Tupac, the Beatles,
definitely.
Prince,
the Office Lounge,
Marilyn Monroe. You're just at this top level as a representation of your era, and you know, doesn't
nice
get much bigger than Michael.
You're right.
You hit it. You hit it exactly. It does. There is a.
I always tell people, go and see the legends live before they pass away. People say, I go to this concert? I said, I don't care what genre it is, go and see the legend. See them, you won't regret it. And I'm just trying to take my kids.
Right,
COVID threw a wrench in it, right? But I take my kids I used to take my kids to concerts, and that's the plan. Show them the legend.
Yeah.
Wow.
My nephew got married this weekend, and his first concert he went to with me was to see Tina Turner. He was young, but he knew every word to every song to the album, everything. And I just was so amazed by it, I had to take him. And we went festival style, so I had to put him on my shoulders. But me and that baby party, and he just got married. He turned 39 Sunday. He got married Friday. 39 years ago. You know, you said, that's forever. Forever.
You got to do it. See, and then she's retired now. She's not performing. You're never getting. No one's going to see Tina Turner again. I mean, who knows? Maybe she comes out and. I don't know if she can hang in those heels being older, but shoot, man. I bet that's just pipe still there.
Right, she can wait. So, but the thing of it is, the energy she would bring to the room anyway, she wouldn't even have to do anything, you know.
Hey, yes. I will be online the second those tickets go on sale if she ever comes back around. She's on my list.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah.
What do you think about that new NFT thing that they have, where you know they're selling all their music rights and stuff? I think it's okay because you know they're giving it a pass anyway.
I don't know. I got
mixed feelings about it.
Mm-hmm.
I have mixed feelings about it. I feel on the one hand, if you're an artist or a creator, going and throwing your money into NFTs is kind of pointless because you're already producing art. You're already creating art. You already own that art. You know, you don't have to go to the store to buy produce. You're the farmer.
Right.
You're right.
Take it with you. It was the most pointless thing I had ever heard. Any good artist embraces his music. Some music is meant to be heard later in life, when you can understand it or relate to it.
It's
pointless to me. It's deep.
Yeah, I mean, I think when it comes to art and creativity, it's kind of like it's a multifaceted thing. Because on one hand, there's the commercial aspect, the recognition, having people hear or see or read whatever you're creating and putting out there. And you know, you would want to be compensated for that. And some people, you know, they might be incredibly talented artists or singers, and they never really get anywhere professionally with it. It just, you know, they don't get that lightning in a bottle. But even if no one ever engages with your work, there's something to be said about creating it for the sake of creating it, just because some of us might lose our minds if we don't do something creative, right?
Yes,
it's almost like going to the doctor for your health. You have to put something out there. You have to create something. So I think that if you enjoy the process and you enjoy the work and you don't need to put stuff out in order to pay the bills and pay the rent, then, you know, you're going to do it regardless. And just, you know, the hope is there that people appreciate it in some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But with NFT, I don't know.
So what do you see yourself doing in the near future with writing and music and just, you know, your career path? What do you see yourself doing?
So my career path is a little removed. So my brother and I own a recycling company. We own several facilities. We do recycling services for some of, like, the bigger brands out there. We go in. We teach them how to recycle. We take all their materials. We process it. I broke some of it on the market. Others we process, and we get it ready to be turned into new products. Like, a bottle can get turned into a food package, and then the scrap materials off of that can go over to East Asia and get turned into polyester for a T-shirt. There's a whole
lot
of materials that are exchanged globally and turned into new things. You ever ask yourself, you go at Walmart and you see a mop bucket for $2, you're like, how in the heck is this mop bucket $2? That doesn't make sense, right? Like, how are these things so cheap? And it's simple. Mm-hmm. That mop bucket is made out of the scrap materials that were pulled from a different set of scrap materials. So it's like a byproduct of a scrap material of a byproduct. And all of these different things still get turned into new stuff. But that's how it's so cheap. You know, it might be the caps and the labels off of a water bottle that then get taken off of the processing line, sent somewhere else, further processed, sent somewhere else. And then by the time they get turned into new stuff, it's like low-grade, cheap, next-to-nothing materials. And they're able to make stuff out of it for next-to-nothing. So that's kind of my main thing. And writing and music and everything else is something that I've always done as a parallel track. So the nice thing is I can write and create and do my thing, and I don't have any deadlines to it because I don't have to pay the rent with it, right? But in terms of writing, I have my next release is going to be a collection of short stories.
Oh, wow. So,
Do you know what the short stories are going to be about?
Oh, yeah, I've already got about half of them done. They fall in the sci-fi horror genre. I don't know. I just like writing about robots and aliens and monsters and ghosts and stuff like that. I'm a normally very happy, genial guy. But yeah, I got some spooky stories for sure.
Okay. And you got series of them. This is going to be like a part two, part three, four, five, and so on until you get tired?
So Sunset Distortion is book one of five in a series.
Okay.
There's four more books coming in that particular story. But the collection of short stories, they're just short horror and sci-fi and, you know, just weird tales of the strange. I was a big fan growing up of things like The Outer Limits, Tales from the Crypt, The Twilight Zone, The X-Files, just the, you know, tales of the strange, weird, scary stuff. It's just always really resonated with me. So it's kind of like I have one story is about a girl who is who gets injured on an educational expedition to the Amazon. She's being stalked by a hungry jaguar. There's another story about a Christmas. It's called The War on Christmas, and it's about a really extremely pro-Trump podcaster who gets attacked by his Christmas tree. His literal Christmas tree attacks him, and it's trying to murder him and his friends and chasing him around the studio.
Oh my goodness! I love it though.
There's a story about a piece of recycling equipment that becomes self-aware and decides it wants to murder all humanity. There's a story about two scientists in a bunker studying this strange, call it a Stargate, if you will. And it's been there for years. Nothing's ever happened. And then one day it turns on. And it's about the ensuing panic that occurs as something starts coming through the rift. So lots of different kinds of stories, lots of different kinds of, you know, some have happy endings, some have sad endings. You never quite know which direction it's going to go.
It's so funny. I have to ask you guys. Have either one of you ever looked at this movie called Maximum Overdrive?
Yes.
Man, yeah. I saw it a long, long time ago.
God, when the soda can killed the kids. I mean, the soda machine literally slaughtered a whole Little League baseball team. And
yeah,
when I hear your writing, I hear your theories. That's what it took me to. Maximum Overdrive.
Definite Stephen King vibes. If you like Stephen King, I hope that you would enjoy my work. But you know what?
Yes.
After the show, send me your, maybe I'll email you guys a couple of the stories. Tell me how you like them.
Yes, definitely. And the links, you know, and I can share them on the Author's Lounge site on Facebook. That would be great.
Yeah, for sure.
That's
what's coming down
the pipeline. And here's the thing. I was able to relate to it. So you know how people won't think outside of their box? And the first thing they hear is aliens and robots. And they, I don't think I want to even read nothing like that. I don't want to watch anything like that. But you didn't stop to, because you didn't think it would relate to you. But it did to me. I could relate to this. And I can see myself enjoying it.
With Sunset Distortion, you know, it's got monsters and aliens and robots and interdimensional stuff and string theory, quantum physics, alternate dimensions, all that, you know, fun goodness. But at the end of the day, it's a story about kind of pulling yourself out of a rut and the people that help you along the way. It's a very humanistic story beneath the, you know, fun layer of ridiculous insanity.
Yes.
And you know, and I tried to do something a little different with it. Pretty much all of the humanoid characters are POCs. The main character, Laser, I mentioned my dad is Palestinian. I mean, growing up, Arabs are always the bad guys, you know? We're always the bad guys
right.
in movies.
Always.
Stories.
Always.
We're always the terrorists. That's all we do in Hollywood, right? So this character, he's mixed race, and his parents are immigrants and the whole thing. And the only other real humanoid he comes across is this woman named Dex. She's kind of like a Grace Jones type character, just very like ice cold, intimidating. Looks something like an Egyptian queen in a way. And, I always feel like sci-fi had something of a representation problem. So with this story, I kind of try to add my own little bit of course correction to that.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So I have a question.
I was just wondering why you said sci-fi, you know, where you feel that way about sci-fi. What's not correct about it? I mean.
Well, I was just saying that for the longest time, science fiction only told really one kind of story. And so I was trying to, you know, bring some different kinds of people into these worlds of science fiction. Like, one, I love Star Trek, right? And I feel like Star Trek always did a really good job of representing different kinds of people and bringing them into the fold. You know, I mean, they were the first interracial kiss on national television. I kind of want to give some of, you know, add to the sci-fi canon in my own way, some different kinds of people out in outer space. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Definitely. I really do. Wow. You know, because I'm reading a weird book now. It's called The Fools of 49. It's about the California gold rush. And it's something I wouldn't read, but I didn't have nothing to read. I was like, let me read this. It sounds interesting. And it's actually a good book.
Is it
an actual book about the California gold rush and how everybody went to these darn rest. Rush being to California was making all this money and then went broke. Okay, it was spending like, I mean, it was like it's going now. You know how the prices are shooting up and everything is just this price gouging. But that's how it was. Everybody was finding gold, and the prices was just out. It's a funny story, man. It was crazy.
That's flooding the market. You know the story Mansa Musa? Is that how you say it? Mansa Musa? How do you pronounce his name? I think it's Mansa Musa. Have you heard of Mansa Musa?
I haven't.
So he ruled the Mali Empire. They were a massive empire in West Africa, and he was he's considered, if not the wealthiest person of all time, one of the wealthiest people of all time. And the story goes that, you know, he was going on the Hajj, which is, you know, one of the pillars of Islam. You have to go, are you familiar with that at all, with the Hajj?
No.
So you have to make a pilgrimage.
Nope.
Yeah. So for people who are devout Muslims, you have to go on something called the Hajj. It's a pilgrimage. You go to Saudi Arabia. There's a whole thing that they do. And so he was going on the Hajj to fulfill his, you know, his duties as a Muslim. And on the way, he took this massive entourage with him, just caravans and camels and everybody. I think this is like in the 7th or 8th century. I'm not positive. No. Maybe 1200, 1300. I don't know. Medieval ages. So he's going through, and he's bringing all this money, and he goes to Egypt, and he's just spending money left and right. And all these people are so excited, because there's just gold everywhere. But he put so much gold in their economy that he collapsed their economy, because now currency was worthless, because everyone had all this gold. So you know, at the end of the day, economics is kind of like physics. Gravity is going to get you one way or another.
Yep, what goes up must come down. You're right.
So, you know, you start, that's right, you know, inflation right now, everyone's sitting, you know, government was printing a lot of dollar bills and sending them out to everybody. Well, more money means more money chasing fewer goods, hence inflation.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And it's so funny,
so yeah,
everybody talks about it. I'm going to buy gas because I'm going to go. We can fuss all day. It is what it is. I'm going. I will not sit in the house and fuss with you on the phone about the cost of gas. I'm going to buy it. I may not go as many places as I used to, but I'm going to buy
the
it.
But the thing is, you didn't know when George Bush Jr. was in office, gas in Greensboro, North Carolina was $5, because I remember. It was $5.
Well, it's a commodity, and, you know, commodities can fluctuate, and oil is particularly susceptible to, you know, shocks in the world of geopolitics, wars, you know, those kinds of things will then make the futures market run up the price, and they have a bunch of speculators doing stuff to it, and you know, it's a very complex topic, but it'll go up, it'll go down. I mean, I'm hoping that, I don't know, maybe people start investing more in electronic vehicles out of this. Maybe let's try to wean ourselves off of gas as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I, you know what? It's so overwhelming to take in all at one time. We don't even have enough time to even engage in that topic. Because my goodness, I'm serious. It's so overwhelming that it's like to sit down and try to process it all. To me, anyway, it's just overwhelming. I mean, I want to know where your parents could get to get back home. I mean, I'm still stuck on the infinite life thing, you know. Does Lazarus get back home? Where is he stuck at? What is he doing? I guess I got to read him to find out, huh?
Yeah, that's
what I got to do. I got to definitely read it to find out. Because otherwise, you're not dropping any clues. We can't get no clues from you.
What was that?
I said, come on, we can't get any jewels from you. Can you give me just a little hint about what does he do? What does he end up doing? Does he survive it? I mean, I know I got to
You're talking about the story?
I'm so over
there. Yeah, well, obviously, it's five parts. Since it's five parts, I would say he survived.
Does he make it into number six? No, I'm not speculating. Does he make it into number six? We'll have to wait and see,
You got to wait. You got to start with book one.
Yeah. I'm always ahead of it. Mm-hmm. I was that kid that went from page one to page 93. Forgive me. I was that kid in school. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what social media sites and what sites can we get your books on?
So you can buy my book on Amazon or, you know, BarnesandNoble.com, all those fine international retailers. My website, paulbahuwrites.com, should be up shortly. And you can engage with me on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, facebook.com/paulbahuwrites. Come drop me a line. Talk to me. I talk back.
Okay.
And, you know, building the machine one thing at a time while I recycle all of your used bottles.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man, I know that's right. I want to thank you again for coming on the show. I appreciate it. Man, you put us on to a lot of information. I'm so glad you came on to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's been delightful.
Great. Do you have any last words, Miss Melissa?
No, I have enjoyed you tonight. You are so funny. I love your sense of humor because, you know, you made it easy. He made it really easy to do this, you know. And I'm looking forward to your project. In fact, I'm online right now trying to pull you up so I can plug in with you into Facebook and follow you from there.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, the book, it's nice, easy beach reading, you know. The weather's getting warmer. Time to go outside. Read something light. You don't, you know, the world is a crazy, wild place. And it can get overwhelming very quickly.
You know what I know just about who? Since the war between Russia and Ukraine, nobody's wearing a mask anymore. The outside is really like outside now.
Yeah, well, Delta kind of started really dropping right before the invasion. But, man, what's happened in Ukraine just breaks my heart. It really does.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's so utterly awful what is happening to so many people. It's just so needless, so unnecessary. And I really hope that out of this, you know, as a species, we can just take one step closer to all acknowledging, hey, maybe we shouldn't just invade each other anymore. You know, we can leave that.
How about that? Yep, let it go.
But
absolutely right.
That's not up to me. I just write books and recycle bottles.
And you're doing your part. You are doing your part. And that's sometimes that's enough. You're doing what you do best.
Oh,
and
well,
you're giving back.
I really appreciate it. I try.
Yeah.
Can I leave you with a dad joke?
I've been waiting for it.
Only at the office lounge, please.
Okay, so I have a list of jokes on my phone called the Dada Base, which is my list of dad jokes. And some of them I write, some of them I don't write. So let me see here. Where's one that I wrote? Sorry. I have such an overwhelming list.
You're good. Take your time.
Okay, let me see here. This is one I wrote, and you can tell I wrote it because it's utterly ridiculous. Okay. How do you air out your house in Ecuador?
Wow.
Yeah.
There's no wind in Ecuador.
Who cares?
There's no wind in Ecuador. It's hot.
Yeah. You open an Equa window.
You know what?
Only
on the office lounge. Only on the office lounge. You are welcome to do that, Paul. Only on the office lounge.
I'll do an easier one. All right. Have you guys ever heard about Cardi B's sister, the workout instructor?
Yeah.
You haven't heard about Cardi O? You heard about Cardi O?
No, I really haven't.
I didn't write that one. That one's not. I didn't write that one.
That is too funny.
Okay, yeah. Here's what I wrote. All right, last one. This one. This one's also really stupid. All right. If you were just like okay at being a seamstress, are you so-so?
You know what? I'm done. Like I said, only at the office level.
All right. Thank you. Yes. Please tip your waitress.
Right. Thank you.
It has been a good interview.
I truly, truly enjoyed this tonight. It was so cool.
All right, guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
We're going to take a small break, and I want to thank Drip the Mic. Got to give a shout-out to the producers and the CEO and the First Lady. The number, the call-in number, 646-378-0355. Press 1 to speak. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back to the Office Lounge. And I am your host, Arthur Hezzy, with my co-host, Miss Melissa. You are tuned in.
Hello.
To presented by Drip the Mic. And the call in is 646-378-0355. Press 1 to speak. And tonight, the Office Lounge is doing something different. Instead of boring y'all with interviews all night long, we're going to switch it up a little bit. Often copied, but never duplicated. We're going to do two office pilots. We're going to do two author spotlights tonight. Then we're going to ease y'all mind with a little bit of juicy gossip from around the world.
What?
Melissa, yes, go ahead and start this thing off.
You know what we're going to do? The spotlight tonight. I am honored to be able to do this. And, you know, we're going to start it off and keep it real smooth with Kamira Cocole Fenton, if I'm saying her name correct. It's the power to say yes.
You are.
Okay. She's a life coach. With her being a life coach, she does a transformation coach as well. And that's when you do it all. You do the spirit, the mind, the transformation, and the prosperity. And I just love that because, you know, we talk about the mind, the body, and the spirit, but prosperity,
yes, definitely.
Something different there. It's something different there, but that it rings different to my ear. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
That's definitely something that I think everybody. It takes someone like this to help you see your transformation.
Yes, definitely.
To help you see your own transformation. And she has Focus Work, and she has one called Kirby Royal. That's right up my alley. That is critical royal, I'm sure that's a line for them. I mean, more things to empower each other. And, you know, sometimes we get a little discouraged with that, but, you know, as women, we need this. She also has a podcast. It's My Life Has Destiny podcast. Is that right, Has?
Yep, that's right.
Am I looking
that
at the right? Okay. Okay.
You got
some contact info, folks. We got some contact info for this lovely lady. And you can reach out to her at 910-707-4472. Again, that's 910-707-4472. Fruitful growth in faith. And this is something I'm sure she stands firm on. Fruitful growth. So, again, that is our spotlight. So, you know, this is really cool. So, I think I covered this so far. Again, her name is Kamira Cocole Fenton. And, again, you can catch her podcast at My Life Has Destiny podcast. And you can also check her out with Kirby Royal, who's a transformation coach. Spiritual, mindset, transformation, prosperity.
Definitely.
So that's our spotlight. She has a catchphrase I like. It says, step into the world with the women of many titles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't even one title. Thank you, Ms. Fenton. Thank you. Yes, thank you. So, Hez, was there anything that I missed about Ms. Fenton?
No, you got it all. You got it all right.
Okay. Cool thing. That's spotlight time. I don't want to miss anything. I want you guys to have a full information on Miss Fenton.
And I have one more spotlight. Her name is Meglet Gardeau Gabriel. She's a public author of Hello Baltic Sea and Looking Above. And they are available on Amazon. She's Ethiopian, and she lives with her mom and siblings. And she's also running a farm business. And that's I'm very interested in reading her book, Hello Baltic Sea and Looking Above, because, you know, sometimes as we watch the media and stuff, and they give us information on other countries, they don't tell the whole story.
Never. I mean, they give they drop crumbs for us to trail. Yeah. Wow.
Basically. And everybody that I'm talking to, they're like, man, it's beautiful over there. So I'm looking forward to reading her inspirational books. And she's also a great advocate for cancer patients as well. She does a lot for cancer patients in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Her reach is very broad, so.
Wow.
I'm very excited.
So cool.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, I'm looking at it like these women, just as, you know, Ms. Fenton was saying, step into the world with the women of many titles. and right here next with her in the spotlight tonight. She, you know, she's a sibling. She's helping her mom. She's a farmer. She's a writer. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's something. And she's living in our hometown. So I can only imagine right now living in Ethiopia, and you're taking time out to be a published author. And like I said, this is how it happens. This is what the spotlight is about. We got two women from two different worlds, but yet they're all in sync. They're in sync together, you know. And like I said, in a sentence, she caught it when she said, "Step into the world with the women of many titles." It's crazy.
And you know what's also crazy, like. You know, I understand how most women complain and stuff like that. But I also work with some Mexican women.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, they got to be the most bravest women in the world. To come to a new country, to learn how to speak English, because their husband is not going to learn how to speak English.
Right.
Take care of the home and work a whole shift. Go home, cook, clean, get the kids ready. And teach her husband, and got to handle all the house affairs, like the business, where to spend the money, how to talk. They're amazing.
You forgot that they're translators for his sisters and their husbands. And it's the many titles, the many, many, many titles that they wear. And yet they're the most overlooked group of women far as being homemakers. Not only are they employable, they're employable and they're homemakers.
And I'm telling you, in the conditions that they work in, and they work them hard, like, how do a woman not, how do you work on a job for 20 years and you're not a GM? Because of your race. I can't stand that. And they're the hardest working person in that place.
And everybody feel like they should be in position, but what did you do to get there?
Yes.
They never ask the little man that's quiet in the corner. They never ask them how you held on. You know how many times that woman wanted to walk out but couldn't? That's something. But like I said, you know, these two women are yet a world apart, yet so close. They're sharing the spotlight on the author's lounge tonight. And I don't she'll be able to hear the call, or will she have to hear it tomorrow, or how the time is there, or whatever. I don't know any of that. But, you know, she's sharing the spotlight with this woman who is teaching transformation.
Yes. Yes.
And she is the epitome of transformation.
I also want to give a shout out to Angela Thomas Smith, because she has a ladies that's coming out. It's called Broken to Be Mended and Molded in His Image. I am him. He is me. So that's going to be another amazing book. And also, I forgot all about this, man. It's a lot of work. A poetry book came out today, which I'm featured in.
Okay.
It's called The Poet. It's called The Poet Lure, special edition of Aspiring Authors Magazine, honoring our poets from around the world. That is now on sale now on blurb.com books, blurb.com books. That is on sale now. Plus, The Office Lounge has been nominated for Radio Internet Show of the Year. Please go to www.smgospelawards.com and vote for The Author's Lounge Internet Radio Show of the Year.
I got some
other news. Ooh, I got some amazing news. See, I told you we're gonna switch this thing up. It's a National Black Festival coming up in Houston, Texas. And the people that's gonna be there. Let me read this to you now. The featured authors for the 2022 National Black Book Festival, all of whom will appear on Saturday, October the 22nd. Ooh, that's my birthday. I might have to go. For Carly Sellers, Okay, you have to, the favorable pricing ends March 31st. Okay, but Saturday, October 22nd, McCoy Sellers, CNN analysis and best-selling memoir and children's author is going to be there. Karen Parsons, actress for her known, best known for her role as Hillary on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is going to be there. Victoria Christopher Murray and Rashonda Tate Billingsley, both are best-selling award-winning authors and founders of the boutique publishing firm, Brown Girl Books, are going to be there as well. That's going to be an awesome, awesome book signing, and I'm going to be there. I have to go. These events, we need to start going and supporting each other instead of trying to always be better than the next. Why don't we just go and support? Support goes a long way.
Yeah. And I mean, and right about now, oh my God, this month, April is National Poetry Month?
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be something going down this month, always. I mean, right here, they got something celebrating National Poetry Month, Saturday, April the 9th, mm-hmm. and the 16th. It's a free work. It's a workshop. Registration is free. Spaces are limited. And you can check out the link on Facebook. It's with soundproofcreativity.com. And they have also doing a virtual workshop as well. So, hey, this is Poetry Month. We got to make it do what it do.
That's what it is.
Yes.
There are some amazing poets out there, too. I'm trying to just tell you. And me, I like the old poet, but I like some little young, fiery little poets, too, that's coming up in the game. Them things be... Boy, they be tweaking and talking all nasty and stuff. I be like, oh, Lord. They sound like they done been through some things.
Too much. Really, really too much. It was too much. Yeah, they did. They've been through some things. Yeah, but I have, like I said, it's National Poetry Month. And I've been just on here looking at different poets, just kind of peeking in how to get peek through your window, see what you're doing. And I mean, they have been banging them out. And like you're saying about Miss Smith, Angela Thomas Smith, she's doing a 61 minute legacy,
Yes.
And that's for her magazine. So, hey, brothers, this is it. Get in on it. This is the time. If you are new artist, this is your time. If you ever felt like you wanted to get on stage and read something, this is your time. This is April. This is the month of National Poetry Month. This is your time. Fight your fear and do it. It's so much untapped talent in this world, but, it's that fear. Nobody wants to be rejected. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I don't. Nobody wants to
give it. But the thing is, everybody wants to give it to them instead of working for it.
No, that's not true. Some people lazy, but because they don't clean their house, that don't mean I'm gonna call them lazy. They just don't like doing homework.
Yeah, but they expect the same things that you get that they should get. Dude, I can't give you what I get because you ain't worked for it. You remember when I first started. If the stuff that I work in the different platforms that I get on, you can't get them if you haven't worked for here, there you go. I worked hard for you to just get there. Here you go. I don't see it that way, though. I think it's more or less just, you can get there, but the part about is going through the stress and the no's and people telling you no that you can't do this and you can't do that and you actually doing it. That's the part that you savor the most.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is true. But
And this business that we in, this cutthroat, I was like, man, I'd rather be on the streets.
Paysex is oblivious in the podcast world. You better have Zillow, Time Cash, that be back, coming back. I ain't get mine back. Yeah. You got to love what you do in this gig because, yeah. I mean, you'll be sorely disappointed. You'll be delusional even if you think that, you know, you're going to reap the fruits of somebody else's labor in this game.
Yeah, definitely.
You gotta, no. Ain't no ride-alongs in this.
Oh, man.
And it's no paycheck. You don't get a paycheck for a long, 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 long time. Long time, long time.
Yeah, like they say, yes.
That's so, the detail they need out.
We got some great shows coming up. I couldn't get everybody here tonight, but like I got so many offers lined up that it's crazy. Like I got over 12 women that I have to split up in the next couple of weeks to put on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Along with on the other end, I got some number one offers coming. It's crazy, but hey, that's how it is.
Busy is good. We were just talking about that. They putting in the work. They're putting in the work. They're doing the hard work because, you know, like we both just said, everybody ain't cut out for this.
Yeah.
It's got to be your passion. It has to be your gift. It has to be the thing that you live and breathe to do.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be.
And I just can't wait till we get to host the SM Gospel Awards. That's going to be great.
Oh,
that's
man,
gonna
that is going to be crazy. That is going to be crazy lit.
Yeah, girl, guess what I figured out today? I know how to do the backdrop. We can do it live on Zoom. Man, I can do the backdrop on this laptop.
I know that's right. They don't know. They better check my status. Oh, that's right. I ain't put none. Just watch me work. Just watch me, baby.
Yeah.
We are going to have a ball. That is one of the biggest gospel shows every year. That gospel show is one of the biggest. And if you ain't there, you ain't on Jesus' list.
And I'm telling you, that host was Stephanie McDonald, she is amazing. I'm telling you, she is all over the world. She did movies, everything, and she takes her time out. I be asking her questions about this. How do I do this? How can I do this at the show? Blah, blah, blah. I know she's like, boy, you're getting on my nerves. But she never says that. She gives me the information. You know,
right. Information never gets old.
You know me. I'm going to keep asking.
Yep. Like my grandson say, my old car. I be driving my old car. My grandson say, oh, Yaya, you be getting a business, Yaya. Go right on him. I'm like, oh, my God, did y'all excited because I'm driving fast? I'm going to go around him. But, yes, you be getting it in. You got to be available. You got to be available.
So the best part about this is now I get to market the show. We'll get viewers to tune in, give them the link, do little flyers, do little different stuff now. You know, since COVID is kind of lifting up, we can get out there more. You know, give them the link. Hey, log on, call in, talk to us. We don't want to talk to ourselves. We want to talk to you all.
Right.
See what y'all got to say, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Without them, there is no us. We would be just talking to ourselves, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I like having people on the show like Mr. Bahu. You know, I just love
it. Yeah, it's different. We need different. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs different exchange, exposure. You know, we've been caught up with this COVID thing for a long time, and we forgot how to be open-minded.
Yes, definitely. I
forgot how to be open-minded to different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the kids, you sit something in front of them at the table, and before they even taste it, they yell, ew, you know. So, as an adult, I forget to be open-minded when it comes to different things because I'm setting my ways, and it goes back to if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. I like diversity. And he speaks of diversity, you know, even down to his parents, you know. He knows about diversity. Yeah, he knows about diversity. He knows about culture.
And I'm just amazed. I'm going to throw a little sports news in there. Kansas won the national championship last night, unfortunately. They beat North Carolina.
Man, yes. You know how far down in the bottom of my drawer I had to go dig out that daggone North Carolina t-shirt?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. I had to dig in the bottom of the drawer, y'all. Now, I had my Duke shirt kind of nearby. But I had to dig for that North Carolina shirt. Oh, man, I wanted Duke in there. I wanted Duke in there. And you know, the irony of it is, I usually would give two kittens about college basketball. But I really want to Duke in there. I do. For the coach. I want to Duke in there for the coach. Oh, wow. And, you know, I did not know. That's why they say pay attention. I was looking at it, and they were talking about the coach that's been coming up to the Final Four, and I was just, you know, the man, he'd been in there. He'd been in the trenches with them kids.
Yes. Yes.
You know, he really, as a coach, that, it would have been an honor.
Yeah,
by the time I finished reading up on him and seeing him on the news and talk shows, I finally was like, wow, yeah, Duke needs to win this for him.
Coach K, he was man. I don't know if say he did it the right way, but he made men out of his players.
Yeah, and I think he just
And I think he just got tired because you know how this world is going now and the way you got to coach and everything. It's a time to change and time to grow and do other things now, you know.
And it's time for him to go. He's done all he can do. You know, we need some fresh blood in there, too. These boys have been instilled something that no one can take from them. But it's time for their fresh blood. It's time for our African-Americans to start coaching.
Yes. Definitely.
Coaching these, you know, these teams. And it's just time.
Yeah. It definitely is. And Tom Brady's coming back. What do you think about that?
I wish he'd go home and stay home.
Hey, he's got a hand with them kids.
And a turkey, too. I am so sick of him.
He's had a hand with them kids. After 2 months, he said, yeah, I'm going to play football.
He needs to go home and sit down. I'm so sick of him and his stand-up hair. I do want to know where he get his gel from. But anyway, he needs to go home and rest. Go home. Just take a pause for the cause because, Lord, you know, has my cat. I have a cat. And my cat Psycho. I won't be hosting next week because he just chewed my earpiece. Oh, man. I got a cat.
They got five and below down there.
Uh-uh. See, you... I ain't going because it's $8. It's like the dollar store. They still call it the dollar store, and it's $1.25.
Oh, man, I went crazy the other day. I went to the dollar store. I got all this. I said, I ain't going to spend but $10.40. God, I got to finish it up and up that 25. Then it was almost $15. I said, y'all are lying.
Honey, it made me put six items back when you got 14.
Definitely.
I did the math. And when you got 14 items and you thought your shit was the stuff was a dollar, you got to put six of your items back so you can get the main ones. You know how you put the important stuff in the front.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you.
Five and below. No, they are $8. They are not five and below. Anymore. Things range from five and below, but they too lazy to add that eight. So you just got you walk in and be like, surprise.
Well,
we have some stuff on the wall for $8.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad it didn't go up to $2. So $125 ain't too bad. They at least kept it $125.
Yeah,
yeah. I just can't go on that dollar. Get up in that family dollar.
Man. They had to. They didn't want us to tear up their store. If they had went from $1 to $2, we'd have lost our minds. The people would have lost their minds and boycotted them. Changed the sign. Because they really did not change the sign. It was still called the Dollar Tree.
Well,
I feel some way about that.
They say Jada Smith is not angry with Will Smith after he slapped Chris Rock, but she wishes he didn't get physical. I mean, she did look at him like, what you going to do?
You know what? I love him. I love her. I don't care if he slapped Chris Rock, because the thing would have been to slap Will back. But since he made a logical decision and decided not to, I think more so because he was stunned. She, on the other hand, man, she loved it. I wish my man would get up and slap somebody for me and yell, keep her name out there. Oh, my God. He would have got that good tease. Oh, he would have gotten the good tease when we got home.
Oh, my God. Lord have mercy.
Oh, my God. I'd have been baby. You want eggs? Baby, you want eggs with cheese on them? Babe, do you want me cut up your bacon or break it or something? You just ruined your whole career and life for me, baby. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going back and work on Set It Off Part 5. Don't you worry about money, nothing. Because you just went on national television and slapped Chris Rock because I'm bald. I love him. I love him. I do not condone violence. I don't condone violence. But I do condone hitting back. You hit me, I'm going to hit you back. I'm sorry. We both will make a public apology to the Academy Board.
Well, if Marvin Gaye was still living 3 days ago, was his birthday, matter of fact. Marvin Gaye.
I always remember that. It was just so crazy how his death date and birth date was like that. It was so crazy. And my birthday being the 30th. It's like for my birthday, I hate the month of March. My birthday is the day for the last. Ronald Reagan was shot on my birthday. That is horrifying as a kid. That you did not get a birthday party. And the President of the United States got shot the day you was born. Oh, my God.
Uh-oh, Stacey Abrams from Georgia reaches millionaire status before sucking campaign. Okay. She's getting that money.
They living well. They living swell.
Yes.
Courtney Kardashian married Travis Barker. I love him.
Oh, God, this is. Oh. They get married like the next day, don't they?
Yeah. They love like 10 minutes after they meet you. But I like her. I like Courtney because she's not that one that needs to be out front. Courtney Kardashian.
I like
the small
Courtney.
One.
Oh, you talking about the little skinny one?
The oldest one. I like
her. Okay.
She don't partake in all that fake butt and booby stuff.
Definitely not.
But I love Travis Barker. Did you see him on the Grammys? Man, he's bad.
No, I didn't see that.
Look, that sounds so crazy. It was her. Travis Barker, it was Lenny Kravitz. Oh, man, they set it off. They was bad. He's bad. He's a good drummer.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay.
Stupid Dollar Tree. I'm still mad about that. We talking, I'm scrolling. I'm like, God.
I like that Denzel Washington's take two on Will Smith. He was like, who are we to condemn?
Huh?
Denzel Washington was speaking with T.D. Jakes about the Will Smith thing, and he was like, "Who are we to condemn?" Mm.
Denzel Washington, you know, can tell me jump off a building, and I would do it.
I would too. I definitely, because I guess he's been an inspiration to everybody growing up. You know, that's seeing an African American in his position and doing what he has done and all the movies he has made. Mm. And if you haven't seen his newest movie, Macbeth, oh my goodness. Mm.
He
that was great.
Is such a, oh man, he represents the epitome of the black man. I love him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's been with his wife, 25 plus years?
Yes, definitely.
Him and Samuel Jackson, they've been with their wives like 25, 30 years. You don't hear about that in Hollywood that much.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Yeah.
You know what I've been trying to, I'm going to have to figure out. I got a lot of people that want to interview from overseas. I got to figure out how to connect this WhatsApp thing to do these live interviews from people overseas. I got people from Australia, Pakistan, the UK, all want to be on this show.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you do what you're doing now. We on the office lounge. We put it out here. And we see.
Yeah.
We can take us time doing one of the shows where we can get somebody, you know, who really does it.
I might do a Zoom and time into it. And just do the backdrop, you know?
That's true. But good tech. All we need is somebody with some tech that wants to expose you. This is one way they can get it.
Yeah.
One way they can get it. It's time and that thing. If you help me, I help you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so crazy because I probably could ask my grandchildren how to do it because they talk on those games to people from everywhere.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen anything like it.
And they would whole lot make bonds with these kids.
Because I have an author and a relationship guru who wants to be interviewed on my show. And man, he's awesome.
So make him my expert.
Yeah, I don't like. He interviewed me one time, but that's his field. That's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship guru. You know, we all need some of that in our life.
That's okay. But hey, I really have enjoyed doing this with you tonight. I have taken my body the past 3-4 years. I've taken my body through some life-altering changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't told anyone, but you know what? Since you had me on your show, we got out, you know, you have your guests listening in. I'm willing to do this journey just with you. You're my friend, and I know there'd be no judgment zone, but tell me what I've done for you.
Yes.
And it's different. And it's funny because you hear about women getting things done to their body all the time, but you never really know a person that close to you that has had it done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting ready to log. I've been logging everything that has happened since I came out of recovery.
Yes.
And at the peak, it's hard for a plus-size woman, and I've been that all my life, to hear about a woman who was already a size 13 talking about a tummy tuck and a boobler. And I'm like, what? You know, but then you get a woman who's been a plus size all her life to go through this, it's a totally different feeling. And I've been just logging.
Yeah.
I've been just logging each emotion that I have felt. Because I did this. And it's been a journey. It's been a 4-year journey that I've never shared with anybody.
Well,
people was watching me lose. Yeah, people was watching me. But they never really wanted to ask, what did I do or did I have gastric bypass? They never wanted to ask because, like I said, go back to that thing of them not wanting to do the hard work because I worked hard.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I worked hard. This was the only shortcut I could take. But I worked hard. And it's like, I don't know. But then, like I said, since I've been journaling this whole little journey, it's like, wow. Am I done now? You know, it's like, are you done now? Did you see the image you want to see in the mirror? Are you good with how you look now? And I often wonder, dude, what's the name? I would love to see them, but ask them. Especially men that take surgery, whether it be plastic surgery or reconstructive or whatever. How did it make you feel? Because it's different. It's a totally different perspective, I imagine.
Yeah.
But it is
like for me, when my daughter's mother, I seen her and she lost all that weight. I was like, ah, man, you know what I mean?
Right. But hey, if it was one thing on you, you could change, and you had top of the line doctors, and they told you, you know what, sir, you get one shot at changing one thing about yourself. What would it be? What would it be? And please don't tell me the size of your...
No, that's all. But let me be quiet. I don't...
I know that's right. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. There's nothing wrong with that.
You know, I really don't... I don't know. My feet. I can't stand
your
my feet.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying. If that one thing that if you could envision the kind of feet you would be okay with, it's nothing wrong with
that.
Yeah,
the ones I can wear sandals in and show my feet and not have to wear any black socks and stuff. You know what I mean?
But, I mean, do the research. Think about the people that go on
I would like to get that.
Topper.
Yeah, I would like to get that eye surgery, too. So I don't have to wear glasses all the time. Yeah.
Dr. Pimple Popper. The people go to her with the worst of the worst in hopes that she can help them. So it would be no different than you to start with a podiatrist who was, you know, writing a letter. Come on now, you're a writer. Write a letter to a podiatrist.
Right.
You know what? I have been struggling with my feet. Here's some pictures. Can you help me? Who knows? They got a show called My Feet Are Killing Me. Right in the deal.
Okay.
I love Dr. Ebony. Have you ever looked at her?
I haven't.
Oh,
I haven't. Hey,
it's this show on TLC. I'm addicted, y'all. I'm addicted to TLC. I can put it out there. I have no shame about it. They have this show called My Feet Are Killing Me. And they have taken people who, and it was so funny because I learned the language. So now I can look at somebody's feet and be like, metal tarsal amputation. You know?
Wow.
We're putting a K-rod to straighten out your toe. I mean, they actually, oh, man, it got me. I like that healthy got me. Yeah. That and beating Bobby Flay. They my two. I love beating Bobby Flay. And they haven't had a new one on it forever, but I love beating Bobby Flay.
Well, we just got Mr. Dr. Nigel Beckles from the United Kingdom. He's going to be doing a Zoom interview with us soon, Miss Melissa. And we're going to have, hopefully we can load it up to the station one night so we can play that interview. We're going to have Drifter Mike's back shot on the Zoom meeting since I know how to do that now. So that's going to be great. He's the relationship guru from the United Kingdom. So it's going to be interesting.
Oh, this should be interesting. Yes, it is. Because I know those men take on American women is totally different. So this should be really good to see how he can help out relationships over here.
Definitely. Well, we're about to wind it down.
Down.
I thank you.
Wind it down.
So we're going to have so much fun. Oh, my God.
Thank you for having me again.
Yes.
I took my hiatus, but thank you for having me again. I'm a firm believer. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So
that's right.
Thank They, that's my word for, that's my little thing for this Tuesday night. It would be stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to thank you all for tuning into the Author's Lounge. Oh, Mr. Beckles has sent me his bio. It's on and pop. I want to thank y'all for tuning into the Author's Lounge. I'm your host, Arthur Hedges, with my co-host, Mrs. Melissa MC, and we're brought to you by Drifter Mike. Remember, the call in is 646-378-0355. Press 1 to speak, and y'all have a good and blessed night. Thank you again.
Good night. Good night. Thank you for tuning in with us.
Yo, what up, this Wyclef with Mary J. The girls with my acoustic guitars, you know what I'm saying? Yo, fellas having problems with the chicks, I want you right now to turn the lights down low. Pull your girl up next to you, I want you to take it.
When Steph comes to me tonight, girl, I want you to know that I love you. No matter how tough I would have dared, only to you I would reveal my tears. To tell the police I ain't home tonight, messing around with you is gonna give me life. But when I look into your eyes, man, you're worth that sacrifice. Love that my mom used to warn me about, man, I'm in trouble, I'm in real big trouble.